Matthew 6:19-24. We hit this last Sunday, but we're still in it. Let's read it, and then we're going to go do some digging. And, man, church, I think this is going to be, I know it's going to be powerful. If you receive it, it'll be powerful for you. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Suggestion or command? Command, right? Just because Jesus came doesn't mean we get away from commandments. Amen. But, everybody say but, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Mammon. Right? So, man, during pastor's teaching yesterday, I had just, the Holy Spirit was just downloading some extra stuff to me. Really, really good. I want to just share a couple of thoughts before we get digging in here. The last church in the book of Revelation, I think it's Laodicea, the seventh church, is the church that the Lord accuses of being lukewarm, right? And we get weird about, you know, oh my gosh, am I a lukewarm Christian? You know, but church, if you read it, he says it's right in there. He says, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew it on my mouth, because you say, I'm rich and I'm prosperous. I'm paraphrasing it slightly, but I've arrived. I don't need anything. But you don't know that you are naked and wretched and poor and blind. Come and buy from me, right? Come. Church, could you imagine being naked and wretched and poor and blind and don't even know it? Crazy. And as we're sitting here yesterday, the Spirit of God brought this passage to me, and this is what he said to me. This is America. It's the American church. We sit in our... It's funny, sometimes I look at other buildings and I'm like, man, I wish our building was like that. But then I see, then I got friends that are launching churches, got nowhere to meet. And I come to our building, I'm like, oh, we're doing all right. But then it's like, wait a second, does God care about our building? Not for one second. This building burned to the ground. Would that affect our worship? Unfortunately, it would for some, many Christians. Right? Is that true? Right? I mean, there's been times we've come to worship and the sound system just dies right as we're starting. It's awkward. What on earth? Right? Does God care about subwoofers and all this stuff? Not really. He cares about hearts. Right? Isn't that good? I think all this stuff is just tools, man. It's all tools. If our hearts are right, doesn't matter what we're using, right? Bang on a stick with a pop, and God's cool with it. Or have a nice guitar and some drums. It's a heart condition that makes it worship. Is that all right? So a couple things from last week really quick. I think we nailed down very soundly that you cannot serve two masters. And that according to Jesus, the other master that will constantly vie for our attention, affection, and trust is not the devil directly, but rather money. All right? I asked last week, let's raise our hands. I'm raising mine. How many people like money? For sure. Who doesn't, man? If you don't like money, there's something wrong with you. If you don't like yours, I'll gladly take what you got. No worries. Right? Million is spelled M-I-L-L-I-O-N. A lot of zeros on that check. Right? To me, there's nothing wrong with liking money. Nothing wrong with it. Right? Is that okay? The issue is, which we're going to get to at the end of this sermon, is money a treasure to us? Is money a treasure to us? If money's a treasure to us, then the Lord is going to be very stringent with how much of it we can have. Let's nail some sacred cows. Let's knock some sacred cows over here. Acts chapter 4. I don't want to read this whole story. Let's read it. We got some new people here. Let's read it. I just want to watch my time. I'll be done by 2 for sure. Acts chapter 4, 32. We're going to read straight through into chapter 5. We've been in church. We know this story. But I want to nail something down clearly here. The congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. Amen. Want to know a target of the devil? Get the church fighting with itself. The congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And not one, listen to this, church, not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own. Isn't that such an interesting phrasing? Not anything belonging to him. So it's mine. It is mine, right? I'm free to do whatever I want to do with it. But I've realized that it's not mine. It is mine, but it's not mine, right? But all things were common property to them. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And abundant grace was upon them all. Seems like there's something pretty important about realizing that all my stuff is mine. I'm responsible for it, but it's also not mine. It seems like there's a key there to abundant grace being released. I'm just reading it. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales. Some of you were like, I hate this message already. Hang on. They would bring these things, lay them at the apostles' feet. This was Peter, James, John, these guys, right? They would be distributed to each as any had need. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means sons of encouragement, and who owned a piece of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, I'm going to paraphrase the next several verses. What happens is that Peter comes in. He comes to Ananias, who's the husband. He says, hey, did you sell this piece of land for such amount of money? He says, yes, I did. The Bible says he drops dead. Drops dead. And they carry him out and bury him. And about 3 hours later, his wife comes back in and he says, hey, how's it going? How's your day going? Right? She's like, where's Ananias? He's like, I don't know. I haven't seen him. Right? But he asks Sapphira, did you and your husband sell this land for such an amount of money? She says, yes, we did. He says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? And she drops dead. Boom! And they take her out and bury her. Here's the kicker of this story, church. Does the Lord expect us to go home today and sell our houses and sell our cars and sell our DVD players and jet skis and all this stuff and just bring all of our money and lay it here at the altar? Yes, he does. Thank you very much. See you next Sunday. Of course not. All right, of course he does not expect that. He expects us to hold on to our material possessions loosely. Right? Does the Lord want you to be poor? No. Oh, my goodness gracious. Can I get an amen? Dude, that is absolutely horrid theology. Horrid. Right? The issue here, my beloved, listen to this. You've got Joseph the Levite who sells his piece of land, brings all of it and gives it to Peter and James and John, right? He just brings it to church. Here's the check. Pastor, here you go. It's everything. Wow. Ananias and Sapphira watch what he does, and they think, I want the same kind of recognition. So I'm going to sell my stuff too, but I'm going to keep some of the money, but act like I'm not keeping it. The issue is not how much money they gave or they didn't. They're free to keep or give whatever they want. The issue is that they lied and tried to make themselves look holier than they were. Wow. Isn't that powerful? Look, I think many of us could tell of times, if we understand giving, we could tell of times that the Lord has said, I want you to give this amount, and you go, Are you sure? You know, right? Are you sure? And you come on, church. If you're a giver, you understand giving, you know it. Right? And you're just like, all right, whatever. There's a pastor pastors a huge church in Dallas, but there's a book that he wrote way back. He did not start pastoring a huge church. He wrote an entire book. It's pretty short on giving. Uh-oh. Here's trouble. This pastor, my beloved, his name is Robert Morris, if you guys know who that is. Robert Morris, he wrote a book about giving. Are you done? Want to go see mommy? All right, take care. So I'm gonna show you guys the first story that opens this book up. And the entire book is about being generous and just giving lavishly. This guy was like a traveling preacher. And he traveled all around the country like with an old like 73 station wagon or something, you know, like this old jalopy. And he needed to preach every single Sunday to live. Like that's, he was getting paid every Sunday and just making it. And then he goes through this season where just everything dries up. Nobody's inviting him to preach. He gets one church for like a 6 or 8 week span. And he's thinking, Lord, I'm literally going to starve. Like this church needs to give me 8 weeks worth of blessing or we're not going to eat. Right? So he goes and he says, I preach like I never preached in my life. And the pastor, we go back in the pastor's office and he hands me an envelope and he leaves. I open the envelope. It's a check for exactly 8 times as much money as I normally would have gotten preaching on one Sunday. He says, I am crying in the pastor's office. I am rejoicing before the Lord. And immediately the Lord shows me a picture of a man that was sitting in the front row of the church in a wheelchair. And the Lord says to me, go give that man your check. And he's like, say what? you don't understand. Like, I need to eat, right? This isn't like I need to go on vacation with this money. I need to eat. But he says, I knew the Lord had spoke to me. So I went and I found this guy and I was like, here's a check. You know, bless you, brother. And he's like, I'm mad. I'm mad. I'm real mad. And then he says, a couple of folks from the church invited me out to lunch. So we got to lunch. We're sitting there. He says, I am mad. I'm mad at God. So I'm sitting there, and this guy walks over to me, sits down. And he says, how you doing, Pastor? He says, this is going to sound weird, but I'd like to see that check that we gave you from the church. And he's like, I just gave this check away. So I look at this guy, and I said, my wife has it. This is a true story, y'all. This guy just got done preaching the word of God, and now he's lying to one of the guys on the board at the church. And so he says, well, go get it, because I want to see it. So he goes, I get up, I walk to the end of the table where my wife was talking with some ladies. I lean down and pretend to whisper something in her ear, and I come back and I sit down. I said, my wife says it's in the car. And he says, this guy looks at me. He reaches into his jacket pocket and says, I know that check's not in the car. I know you don't have it. And now this pastor had just got done preaching. He says, now I was real mad. Like, who do you think you're talking to? And the guy says, the reason I know that you're not telling me the truth is because God told me to give you this. He pulls a check out of his pocket, slides it across the table. It's 10 times the amount of money he had just given away to the penny. What? Dude, if Jesus is not real, that's impossible. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible, right? Now, if you buy this book, you can find this book. It's not particularly long. But Robert Morris goes on to tell story after story after story. He's given away houses. He's given away. He says, I've lost count how many cars I've given away. He gave a car away at one place. One church he was preaching, gave a car away. Some guy walks up to him, he says, I got no idea how I'm getting where I'm supposed to go now. But at this point, I'm like, whatever. God tells me to give something, I just give it. Here you go. He says, a guy comes up to him after church that one time, and he says, Pastor, you know what? I own a small airport in the city here, and I own a small fleet of planes, private planes. And he says, for the rest of your time, the rest of your life on earth, you need to go somewhere, you call me, give me some notice, I'll have a plane wherever you are, taking you wherever you want to go. Dude. Church, the Bible is very clear. As we give, it shall be given back to us. The same measure with which we give, it will come back. Right? The Lord says, just test me. Go ahead. Give so it hurts a little bit. Right? Give in a way that you got to like tighten the belt for a week or two and watch what God will do. We already took up offering. I'm not taking up another one. Luke 12. Here's another one. Gonna straighten some stuff out. Is this all right so far? Luke 12, parable here from Jesus. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Sounds like a just thing, right? But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then Jesus said to him, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of possessions." And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do?" Excuse me. And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive." And he began reasoning to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store all my crops?" Right, church? This is a parable about money. Can I get amen? Then he said, this rich farmer said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods." Now, see, most times when we preach about this, we stop right there and say, "See, oh my gosh, we shouldn't be building barns. We shouldn't be storing up money. We shouldn't be this. We shouldn't be that." Cannot stand it when people stop in the middle of a story and build theology out of it. Garbage. Let's keep reading. Verse 19 is where he gets in trouble. "I will say to my soul." I'll say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for your many years to come. Take your ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." The Laodicean church, we're rich. We're blessed. We've arrived. We're good. We don't need anything. It's the same thing. It's this rich farmer. "Man, I'm good." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared?" So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Is the issue being wealthy? No. The issue is being wealthy and being a beggar before the Lord. The issue, my beloved, is being poor in my spirit. Not blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the where we come. But it's when I choose, when I look at my own soul, right? Not his spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. This guy's broken his soul. Soul and spirit are different things. The Bible's clear about that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Here's what's crazy. The phrase when this man says to himself, he says to his own soul, "Take your ease," right? The Greek word there is the same Greek word in Matthew 11, 20, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you," what's the word, church? Rest, all right? Man, do we love quoting that one. You know the problem is? That Greek word means intermission. Look it up. I'm telling you the truth. "Take my yoke upon you," verse 29, "and learn from me, because I'm meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your soul." Different Greek word. That word rest means a permanent ceasing from striving. I don't get that from getting saved. That's what verse 28 is. I got saved. I came to Jesus. I'm broke down. I'm weary. I'm heavy. I came to Jesus. I said, "Yes, I'm giving my heart to Jesus." He says, "You get some rest. It's going to last for a little while, a month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever." Come on, church. How many times we hear people say, "Man, Pastor, I got saved. I feel so good. I feel light. I feel, I feel relieved. I feel like I'm peaceful. I feel so happy." And then 6 months later, they're like, "Oh, I don't know what's wrong. I thought I got saved." You did. But now the Holy Ghost is saying, now it's time to change. Time to get to work on your soul. You'll receive, the Apostle Peter says, as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, the problem in this parable, my beloved, is that this farmer thought that financial prosperity was a direct indication of the condition of his soul. Right? Do you know that we got churches that actually teach that stuff? Man, if you got money, God must be blessing you, brother. Maybe not. If we got this thing like the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Like we think he's just going to come in with like a machine gun and shoot everything. Nah, sometimes if the devil knows that money is a snare, he'll give you money because he knows that it will destroy you. Is that all right? In other words, if I got money, I must be all set. Everybody say this together. That's wrong. Couldn't that be more wrong? Because if that's true, that means that people who don't have any money are in sin. We all know that that's wrong. Is that all right? Back to Matthew here. Going to look at verse 19, 20, 21 just for a couple minutes here. We're going to drive something home. And this is going faster than I thought. We'll be done by 1:45 for sure. Verse 19, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in, say church, heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys or thieves break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, the command from Jesus, my beloved, and this is going to sound like I'm splitting hairs until I drive this point home, because I guarantee some of you are going to be like, whoa. He says, don't store up treasures. Everybody say treasures, right? So think about this for a minute. I've joked many, many times preaching about, you know, I will let people borrow anything I got except my chainsaw. Can I get any man from maybe he's got a chainsaw? Right? Bro, I'll let you borrow one of my kids before I let you borrow one of my chainsaws. All right? You can do less damage to my kid than you can do to my chainsaw. Right? Dude, I can't tell you every single time, every time I let somebody borrow my chainsaw, it's broke. Every time. Dude, every time. I'm like, no, what do you need to cut down? I'll cut your house down with my chainsaw, all right? I don't care. You ain't borrowing my chainsaw. I used to not let anybody borrow my car. I did not even let my wife borrow my car. All right? The Lord has delivered me from that. I'm like, if you crash it hard, all right? I don't want it back. Just wrap it around a telephone pole and, you know, walk away. Amen. I tell you what, the Lord, man, one time, because I used to be such a nut with my car, I bought this brand new little sporty little car. We drove to the Cape to visit a buddy of mine, ministry friend, and I literally had like 4,000 miles on this car, brand new, right? I'm in his driveway, and he's got this queer driveway, and I was going to leave. He says, look, man, do like a K-turn, like back up this way and then go forward out because there's a tree that's in like this weird spot. I was like, bro, backup camera. Yeah, I backup camera right into that tree that he told me to go do a K-turn around. And then I was so upset, I backed into a telephone pole at the end of the driveway with my brand new car. And then I was going to spend money to fix the bumper, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you will not. Just remember that, because that's an idol to you, and I'm showing you, I'm taking some of your idols down. It's just a car. Hey, man, I'm still going to buy nice ones. I like nice cars, but you know what? If it gets a dent, it gets a dent. Whatever. It's all good. Can I get amen? Is that all right? My chainsaw, the Lord is still delivering me from my chainsaw. It's a process, right? We're working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Here's the deal, though. As Americans, it's so easy for us to treasure things that maybe we should not be treasuring. Again, treasure. Think about like watch an old pirate movie, right? Arr, the X marks the spot. You know, treasure. Dare, you know, kill each other, get the gold. You know, get the gold. And we're always looking for it, man. I remember when I was, it worked before I was in ministry. I was always like, I had this job. The Lord had sovereignly opened the door for this job. Like, I had no business having this job. A couple years in, I'm like, I'm tired. I want to make more money. I would interview for every job I could find. Not a single one offered me a job. Not one. The Lord finally, I was like, you know what? The Lord's just like, you need to humble yourself and just learn how to live within your means. I gave you how much money you got. Learn how to live with it. Jesus' name. Right? Church, I like stuff, man. Some of you that know me real well, we've been to, my parents have lake house up north of here. You know, I have jet skis, boat. I mean, that's not all my stuff, but you know what I mean? Like, I like this stuff. It's cool. But you know what? I'm honestly at a point now, if all that stuff burned to the ground, whatever. Whatever. I'll say, Lord, you better give me another one. Do you know what I'm, church, like, enjoy it. But my goodness, the moment that stuff starts pulling on our soul, we're out of line. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul tells Timothy this, the Lord has given us all things for our enjoyment. But, he says, tell those, right in the same section, tell those who are rich among you not to trust in the uncertainty of riches. He's like, man, if you're rich, praise God. You guys remember Rick and Judy? Remember some of you are around, good friends of mine. Rick, they're wealthy. That's what he said. He stood up here right before they moved south and told this story about being in a church in New Britain area, Kensington, several years ago. And he's at this conference, and this prophet was preaching. This prophet mid-sentence stops and says, who here wants to get a financial blessing from the Lord? There's like 800 people in the room. Who wants a financial blessing from the Lord? So my buddy is looking around. Nobody stands up. He's like, who on earth doesn't want a financial blessing from the Lord? The problem is everybody's like, what am I going to have to give up first? That's what we think. Is that right? So he's like, I stood up. I'll take it. One other guy stands up, 800 people, only two people stand up. So this prophet goes to the first guy, boom, 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 boom. Then he turns to my buddy and he says, you've got some money invested. And everyone is telling you to pull out. Everyone's telling you this investment's going to go south. You're going to lose your shorts. You're going to lose everything. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose this. But the word of the Lord to you, stay. Do not listen to the wisdom of men. Stay. And so he says, now I've got a choice. Am I going to listen to the prophet or listen to the words of men? So he says, I stayed. And he said, I made so much money. He said, I made so much money. This guy, my beloved, is the most generous person I personally know. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And church, if you don't have lots of money, I'm not talking, you hear what I'm saying? Percentage-wise, if you understand what I'm saying, that's what Jesus says. This woman gave two mites, gave more than everybody, because it was an abundance of giving to her, right? Don't misconstrue what I'm saying. But Rick, I loved it. It was such a power. He stood up here, and he pauses, and he goes, are we wealthy? Yes, we are. I was like, I love that, man. But he got wealthy by obeying God. Wow. Proverbs 23:4-5, Book of Wisdom. Do not, suggestion or command? Command. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth, set your eyes on it, right? Church, what are we talking about in worship? Your eyes are to be fixed on the Lord. Not on my bank account, right? When you set your eyes on it, it's gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings, like an eagle that flies toward the heavens. Church, I'm telling you what. How many, come on, just raise our hands. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, man, if I ever get X amount of money in the bank, I'm going to feel comfortable. For sure. You know what's happened? Every time I've hit that number, whatever that number is, something breaks and it's all gone. All of it. Every time. And you know, I used to get mad at God. You know how hard I worked to save all that money? He's like, yeah, I told you not to do that. Don't weary yourself to gain wealth. He says, I didn't say you can't gain wealth. Don't weary yourself doing it. Good preaching. Here's my finishing point. Rick, if you're watching, man, we love you so much, bro. We're going to be seeing Rick and Judy when we're on our way on vacation here shortly. Jesus' name, we're going to stop and see them. Awesome people. So, church, I think you understand what I'm saying. The Jesus warning is command is not to store up treasure, right? Not to store up treasure on earth. Treasure, something that is very, very precious on the earth. Because something's going to happen to it. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Right? Got a friend of mine here in the church, bought a really, really nice new vehicle not too long ago. And then we were doing something together, and I was like, bro, where'd this scratch come from? And he's like, yep. Hit the mailbox on the way out the driveway. Like 3,000 miles on his brand new vehicle. And you're just like, whatever. I hate cars. Dude. You know, just buy an old jalopy. Who cares? Hit everything. Like, go ahead and hit me. Try it. Man. See, if wealth, the Greek words in Matthew 19, treasure, do not store treasure, you can't serve God and wealth. The Greek words for wealth and treasure are completely different words. Completely different. Here's what Jesus is saying to us, my beloved. You catch this, I'll tell you, it'll change your life. He's saying that if money is a treasure, I cannot have very much of it. But if I view money as a tool, I can have as many tools as I need to do what I need to do with my life. I just got done renovating my bathroom. Some of you saw pictures on Facebook. For a guy that doesn't know what he's doing, it came out pretty decent. It hasn't fallen into the basement yet or anything like that. It's funny, the house we sold in Torrington before we moved here, I redid that whole kitchen, ripped the whole thing out. There's some crazy stories about that. Somebody in the church here helped me one day, and I thought I killed him. Anyway, ripped that entire bathroom out right to the studs, everything gone. And I did it myself, all the plumbing, all the electrical, put counters in. We drive by that house, it's still there, hasn't burned down. That was like 10 years, 12, 13, something years ago, right? So, I mean, I know, like, kind of know what I'm doing. But here's the point, my beloved. 20 years, I've owned a house for almost 20 years, various houses. And over the years, you know, you certain things happen, and I need to go buy this tool, right? I used to sell power tools, not because I know how to use them, just because it was a job. I got all my fingers still. You guys can see that, right? But as I did this bathroom job, I needed to borrow one tool for half a day from somebody. Every other tool I had in my garage somewhere or in the basement, except the tape measure. I bought 6 million tape measures in my life. What on earth is the deal with tape measures, man? I swear they like grow legs and go hide somewhere. Utility knives. Dude, I put it down on the counter, and I turn around, and I turn back around, and it's gone. Where did it go? I have 100 utility knives in my house. I can find two. I don't know where they go. Right? Dude, it's crazy. I had to buy a tape measure for this job. I bought 100 tape measures in my life. Had to buy another one. Here's my point. The Spirit of God was talking to me about this. He says, look, you had over years of accumulating various projects. You accumulated all these different tools, and you're like, okay, I laid some towel down. I'm like, you know what? I know I've got that trowel thing that you're supposed to use to spread the grout in between. I know I got one somewhere, right? I went down the basement, dug around. Ah, there it is. There it is, you know. And I know I've got this tool, so I know I've got this tool. All these tools. Look at, I would not spend a dime on tools if I did not need tools. Because they're not a treasure to me. I'd much rather spend money on like golf clubs and jet skis and stuff. You know what I mean? Because that's fun. Ask my wife. home projects. Oh, I'm like, oh, that'll take me an hour. She's like, I'll see you next Thursday. I'm like, I got to drill one hole in the sheetrock. It takes me 4 days because I'm like, I drill a hole and I hit a water pipe. And it's like, dude, what? What's the chance of a water pipe being right there? You know? She's like, can you hang this picture up? And then I'm like, she calls me the next day. I'm like, I had to tear the bathroom out. You know, went to hang the picture up and the whole wall fell off because it was all rotted. Like the Money Pit, man. You ever seen that movie? It's my house right now. Right now, the garage door will not close or open. Don't ask me how I went to either one. I don't know. I'm not quite sure. Dude, I'm just going to light a match, throw some gasoline on it, and walk away. Dude, that's public now, so I guess I can't do that. I'll get in trouble. Here's the deal, church. The words Jesus used for church and wealth, totally different Greek words. They are unrelated as far as the Lord is concerned. We saw last week, Jesus in Luke's gospel says this, that money is highly esteemed in the sight of men, but detestable in the sight of God. God does not care about your money. And you know who else doesn't care about it? The devil. Oh, the devil's attacking my finances. No, the devil's attacking your soul, and he knows that money is the way in. Because if the devil cared about money, then there wouldn't be a bunch of people that don't love God really, really wealthy. Can I get amen? Right? Oh, you know, the devil's attacking my health. No, he's attacking your soul. And he knows that a health issue is the way that he's getting in. Devil's attacking my kids. No, he's attacking your soul. He's attacking your faith because he knows that your kids is the doorway in to mess up your faith. Church, you know what the Bible says? I'm a little tension here. I'm ahead of my schedule. Amen. First Peter, the Bible says this. You're going to go through a period of testing. I'm going to paraphrase this. Chapter 1, 1 Peter, you can look this up, right? So verses 4, 5, 6, 7 right there. He says, beloved, don't be surprised by this testing comes on you that is going to test your faith, which is more precious than gold, which perishes. Well, as Americans, do we think anything's more precious than gold? Come on, y'all. We don't. Come on, and I'm talking this way, right? Like, we need money. But the Bible says that your faith is far more precious than your bank account. Right? So the devil knows, which he does, that the most precious thing that exists in our lives before the Lord is our faith, our confidence in who God is, our willingness to stand in the midst of no matter what comes. Then what is the devil going to attack more than anything? Our faith. Now he'll go after health, money, kids, marriage, job, whatever. So how, Pastor, what do I do? How do I protect myself? Stop idolizing all those things. Look, I love my kids, but not more than I love God. Love my wife to death, 20 years, man. Amazing, most amazing human I know. Not more than the Lord. Is that all right? See, church, we are the ones that make wealth and treasure the same thing. But if we begin to view wealth as a tool instead of a treasure, there's nothing wrong at all with accumulating wealth over a period of time so that when various life and kingdom projects arise, we have the tools in the garage to get the job done. How many people ever like had your car break down and you got no money? For sure. You know what? After years of that, I decided I don't like that very much. I'm going to start handling my money a little bit better, put a little bit of money aside because my car is going to break down. Right? I'd rather, like, when I need brakes or tires or whatever, I'd rather say, like, money, I'm not worshiping money. I'm making money work for me. It's a tool, not a treasure. I need these tools to get these things done. Can I get amen? Right, let's stand to our feet. Look at that. My goodness, I was done super early. Everybody said amen. Praise God, Pastor. Awesome. Church, here's what I want to leave you with, and we're going to move on next Sunday, keep moving down through the Sermon on the Mount. Money. We think we need money to make it. Next week, we're going to look at, you know, Jesus says, you know, because of all this, because of what he just said, because of this, don't worry about your life. Right? Because the Lord knows what we need before we even ask him for it. Does God know that I need certain things to transpire? Does the Lord know that I need to pay my mortgage and pay my car payments? And, you know, of course he does. He knows that you need it. Some of you own businesses. Some of you work for companies. We all have bills. We all got to eat. But church, here's the thing. The Lord knows it all. Pastor shared something yesterday morning, and I gave a little thought on it, which I'm going to share just briefly here in closing, and I'll probably expound on it a little bit more next Sunday. But the Lord, the Bible says this, that you have been bought with a price. You are what? Say it if you know the rest of that verse. You are what? No longer. Come on, church. Your own. You're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price. Right? So that means, one of the things that means is that we belong to God. He bought me. Right? How many of you own a car? How many of you own a house? How many of you got stuff, right? Does your car worry about where it's going to get its next tank of gas? Does it worry about when it needs a set of tires? Worry about when it needs a set of brakes? When your house needs work, does it worry about it? Or does your house, in a sense, know that I'm owned by somebody who's going to take care of the thing that they purchased? That's my car. I'm going to make sure that it's running properly because it's mine. I bought it. So if the Lord has purchased us with a price, we belong to him, he says, I will take care of what I buy. I take care of what belongs to me. Isn't that so good? Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we come right now and we speak to this idol of wealth. In all the bad teaching, Lord, some of that prosperity stuff is awful. But the poverty teaching is equally as awful, Lord. But I love the one proverb, the writer of this one proverb says this. He comes over, he's talking about provisions and money and all these things. Oh, you got me a cookie? Thank you so much. I can't eat cookies. This one writer says this. He says, Lord, give me just what I need. Don't make me suffer and then I'd be hungry and I might steal and sin against you. But he says also, don't give me too much that I might forget about you and turn away. Father, I pray that if you have chosen to pour out on some of us more wealth than we need, that, Lord, we go ahead and build some barns and build our repertoire of tools, oh God, but Father, that we don't fix our eyes on that. We're grateful. Man, Lord, thank you so much, but I'm fixing my eyes on the kingdom. This is here for a reason. Some point I know what this is going to be for. I can enjoy it, amen, but I don't have extra just for me. Those of us, Lord, that maybe struggle financially, Father, I pray that we learn to be grateful. We learn to say, man, I'm still eating. I was young, David says, and now I'm old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Lord, I've had tight seasons, God, where I was like, boy, I'm going to be eating some peanut butter and jellies for a little bit. but I always had some bread. Father, that we will no longer worship the God of Mammon in this house, but that money will serve us. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone said amen. Man, God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll be here Wednesday for prayer. Facebook and YouTube, blessings on you guys. In Jesus' mighty name. Rachel's community group is next Sunday here. My community group is today. Shortly, I can smell some chili cooking in there. I smell that. But guys, anyway, have an awesome week. Hope that that was a blessing to you.